across Maya is a violent sickness altering the very form of nature. The people cower behind city walls, losing their connections to history and all hope of a better life. But six seasoned adventurers, Allegan, gnome sorcerer, Logoth, the bone-armed cleric, Mativis, Varana samurai, Nydia, hag hedgewitch, Ogan the Anvil, human cleric, and Ravi, half-orc magus librarian, will be called out of retirement to battle monsters and the sickness itself, speak with the gods above and below, and separate myth from truth. Join us for The Great Old Ones.
As you kind of get into the city of Dawnstone, you're in this kind of long forgotten kingdom. I mean, it's this massive city. It sprawls in every direction. The sides of the massive kind of cave work system that you're in have started to draw closer roof wise. The walls are starting to get closer together. You can see them on either side now. They don't spread out into the horizon like it was earlier, where you were just kind of looking off to the left and the right and it was going on forever. Once you cross over the bridge, you leave the slight bioluminescent glow of phlegm behind you, and you cross, you know, some land into the city. You're traveling through the city. It's fairly barren. I mean, there's a lot of buildings. You're poking your head into some of them. They look like little homes, little hovels, like places where maybe people slept, but a lot of it is just kind of empty. It's really a little bit disorienting. Your footfalls cause like very little echo. What's really strange is, you know, these buildings are casting light. So there's no shadows on the ground from the buildings. But the ground itself, the walls, and the sky above you are all black as pitch because of the nature of the stone. So it's as if you're looking at a city in negative. So it's, you know what I mean? It makes you feel slightly uncomfortable. It's disorienting in a way that conjures memories of another city that you all have seen before, only in a sharp contrast. Take that information and do with it as you will. I would like a nature check, please.
Nature's kind of Nighty's thing, one of them. And Ravy's too.
Ogan and Allegan are, you know, just doing their thing. You guys are seeing a lot, yeah. You guys are seeing these large footprints. It doesn't seem like there's any kind of fresh tracking anywhere. You can kind of spot them here and there. Some are on the sides of buildings. Some look like something has crawled up a building. But it all looks old. It all looks like there hasn't been a lot of activity in the city for a very long time. The footprints are about the size of a dinner plate. Two-toed, large foot. All of that activity, there's nothing here. It's just empty. Which seems strange, because everything has indicated that the city should be beset by something.
I just wanted to ask, the buildings and the houses and everything, they're normal humanoid size?
Yeah, they're normal humanoid size. It looks to be the same kind of architecture that was in the Dawnstone Temple, but not the same, not like the stuff that Kavagar and Triss and them put in there. So it doesn't look like it's the same. Like, you know, the rooms with rampant growth in it, the rooms with the alchemic pillars, the library, all that stuff. It looks more like the first floor, where there was a lot of the iconography with the snake statues and stuff like that. There was a lot of that. There isn't really anything that's indicating like a giant. And these footprints are way too big for like what would live in these homes. You know what I mean? If that makes sense?
No. Some large creature has come in and taken over a city that was built for normal-sized people. Is that?
Or walked all over it anyway.
Large creatures have come in and walked all over a city built for, you know, medium-sized humanoids.
Do they look insectoid or arachnid? Giant footprint?
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm. How old do they look again?
Probably at least, you would say, a week or two, maybe more.
So we should definitely be on guard then. This is such a big city that they might be still here.
Would a survival check give more information about the footprints, like in D&D, where you can tell what kind of creature it is?
Knowledge, nature is going to be the best.
Okay.
It's going to be the best thing for you guys right now.
Thank you.
Yeah, 18?
18 will tell you that it is a large creature. It will not tell you what kind of creature.
24?
24 will tell you that it is definitely not, it's definitely not an arachnid or insect of any kind. You would definitely think that it's a type of giant, whatever it is, but you're not familiar with this entity's footprints.
The pattern of the footprints, as in, like, was it moving fast? Was it just walking through combat kind of maneuvers?
It definitely looks like there was a patrol of some sort, but it looks like a lot of the patrolling is lone creatures. Like, at the most you see at any point, grouping-wise, is a group of four of these things. And they seem to, like, you can see where they've gone into buildings and, like, scuttled around with stuff, but they haven't taken anything. There's not much to take. I mean, this place is so old that anything made of wood has pretty much rotted or hardened, and anything made of metal is oxidizing. Any kind of anything, like, valuable really left, like nothing would survive this long except the stone itself that the city's made of.
I say we proceed with caution and just get out of this place. I'm hankering for some fresh air.
So you guys are traveling along. Like I said, you don't see much in the way of activity. Even the massive bats that are overhead they're not here anymore. Like, they're not flying over this place. As you're traveling along, you know, you're on this cobble road. You see this hulking furry shape that's lying prone on the street, and this shard of black stone is jutting from its back towards the sky, like this non-Euclid javelin. You know, and as you guys kind of get close to it, you see that this beast seems to have been impaled to the cobblestone. This javelin looks like every surface of it, if you touched it, would cut you. It just looks like it's you know, been made of just pain. And that's what's before you, you know? And there's a couple of buildings around you. This building here is, the door is actually open, and it is radiating some light out, some blue light out. And this building here's doors are open, and it is radiating like a kind of soft ember glow, which is weird because it's the first time you've really seen anything light-wise in the city.
Nothing's not moving, yeah?
Well, I mean, you can go and inspect it, but no, it definitely doesn't look like it's moving.
I want to inspect it. Medicine check first to see if it's alive.
Fine, then. Before you go up to it, I'm going to have a peek, see if something's like... There's a suspicious glow. I want to see if there's anything in there.
Yeah, it's definitely a different glow than anything you've seen.
Motion to Ravi to come help me with an Arcana check.
Common. Are we opening the door?
It's open. That door's open. That
door's open. I love this room. It's full of books.
Oh, you just walk in?
Yeah.
Before I even describe the room. Okay.
Yeah.
I just sigh.
A cursory explanation of the room. The door's open. There is a blue light coming from inside, which is a strange contrast to the general warm glow of the Dawnstone brick. It has a 12-foot ceiling. One wall is set with a long stone bookshelf full of ancient bound tomes. There's a large table set with a collection of ancient blue books. There is a table against the far wall over here that just has like some moldering wood on it. This is the weird thing in the room, but I'm gonna describe some of it, and then I'm gonna jump back to the rest of the party and let them kind of figure out what they're doing. There is a large chair sitting on a piece of planks of wood. The planks of wood look like they've been removed from something. There's a large chair sitting on it. It's a wingback chair. It's very weird for a couple of reasons. One, you have not seen any wood that hasn't rotted, and this wood looks fairly oiled and fine. Two, it's a very nice chair with a comfy red cushion. Three, it's covered in strange glyphs and runes. Four, there's a 5-foot blue sapphire stuck to the back of it that's a radiating light. So that's what you guys see. Back outside. Nighty is doing a medicine check on this creature.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm also alive.
Okay.
I'm going to inspect the creature with her in case it decides to jump up.
Good call.
23 for me.
And do you want to throw a perception for me, Jim? 27. Cool. Ogun's going to be more interested in the spear, and I'll get into that in a second. So I'll describe the creature, and then I'll describe the spear. So the creature's body, it's covered in a shaggy, thick hide. You know, it's just, well, first, it's huge. It's this giant, hulking, furry shape, right? It seems to have been, it's clearly impaled straight through by this weird spear thing. Its hide looks like it's made of bristles, kind of akin to, like, the coarse hair you'd find on a boar, right? Like the hair that covers a boar's body, but a lot thicker. It's bipedal. It's kind of built like a human, with a head, torso, legs, arms. Where its elbows start, the arm actually splits into two human-sized arms, like forearms with hands. The hands both end with like claws. It has these large dinner plate-sized feet with two toes. And the most disturbing feature of this creature is... The most disturbing feature of this creature, that was fun. It has a vertical slit down the front of its face. And it is definitely, you know, a mouth full of jagged teeth.
Oh.
Does it look similar to the little triangle-y giant arrowhead thing that we've got?
It very much looks similar to the giant triangle-y thing that you guys have.
Is there a spiral anywhere? Or is that just artistic license?
I mean, that would be for your interpretation.
As a player, I've never seen this character. And have any of us adventurers ever seen anything like it?
No, you guys have never seen this thing.
It's like the thing from Stranger Things, only covered with hair.
I recognize it. It's spider finger thing.
I do very much believe that Stranger Things read a lot of Lovecraft.
Oh, it's a Lovecraftian.
This one has three toes. They're only supposed to have two.
I was going to say, this thing actually reminds me of the Thing, but with hair.
Yeah, with a split head. Yeah, totally.
But yes, this is a Gug. This is what a Gug looks like.
But we don't know that.
You don't know what a Gug is, but this is just two players. Yeah, because you guys seem to have not seen a Gug before. That's what a Gug looks like. Except a Gug has two toes instead of three.
My two questions are, first of all, is this thing good and rightly dead?
Yes, it's like, very dead. It looks like somebody killed it real good.
How long ago?
Let me get to Jim's second question and then we'll...
Sorry.
You said I would notice something about the spear?
Spear, yeah. I'm going to describe the spear. So, as you're looking at the spear, you notice, because you rolled really well... This wasn't forged. This was summoned.
Ooh.
This was not a forged weapon. This was a cast weapon.
Wait a minute. I just thought of something. You said this was made of, like, black onyx or obsidian or something like that?
Yes, sirree.
Do you remember back when we were in the cave, like, a few episodes ago? When there was all that obsidian sticking up out of the ground, you said it was spiky and, like, grass?
Yes, I did.
Maybe there was some sort of battle there, and that was the leftovers like this.
But that's what you notice. You rolled really well, and I think that warrants the ability to infer that that was definitely not a forged weapon. That was a conjured weapon.
And the foot of this creature looks like the footprints we've been seeing.
Yes, sir, it does.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
And it is good and rightly dead. And to answer Nighty's question, it has probably been dead for about, you would say about a week and a day.
Oh, that's not a lot at all.
No, it's not. We should tell everybody else, but maybe quietly.
So what's Allegan doing during all this?
I would have been heading this way, but I think I would veer into this room.
Okay.
To see what is going on with... the magic chair.
All right, let's get back to this room. Ravy, what are you doing in the wonderland of books chair?
Reading books.
Okay, so make a dex check when you reach for the books.
Okay.
19. As you go to touch the book, your library senses are tingling. And before you lay a hand on it, you realize that without the presence of the green stone and their temporal blessings for pages, you believe if you touch this thing, it will crumble to dust. And you kind of look at all the books in here and think that the only thing that's holding them together is the lack of movement.
This room is pointless.
she says, as the crystal glows, this room is dumb. I don't want to be in here. Tevis, what are you doing, bro?
I'll go have a look at the chair, and I'll accidentally tap the table as I walk past it.
I was also gonna say, since I found that out about the books, I'm leaving the room.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. This is dumb. Okay, so you're looking at the floor, right? It looks it's on this pallet of wood that looks like somebody, for all intents and purposes, as you cut a piece out of the center of you take the best piece of pie. It looks like somebody has cut the wood out with this chair on it and just deposited it in this room.
Quick question. That's not a book, is it, I'm guessing?
No, that's actually a collection of small blue crystals that are not radiating light.
Okay. Since Allegan's popped into the room, I'll be like, hey man, is this a crystal kicking off some magic? Well, I'm guessing it's because it's glowing, but what kind of magic? I'll assist with your arcana check.
Yeah, oh, go ahead. Matevis puts his hands on his forehead.
That's an 18.
Oh, that's a 17. Yeah, Matevis, buddy, it's magical. You think it's magical. Allegan, throw me a perception check, buddy.
I'm here again.
20 perception. Okay. You notice that the arcane runes and things that are inscribed on the chair, as you're getting close to it and looking at it, they're not actually the languages of magic. As you kind of look and squint, the entire chair is covered in star charts, navigational patterns, maps. All of these directional indicators are carved onto the chair, but any farther than like a foot or two away, they start to blur together and just make it look like a really decorative shape. But as you're kind of looking at it, your eye kind of focuses in on one part of it, and you go, wait a minute, that's a constellation, and that's a sea map. So, you know, you're kind of looking at it, you can see the entire chair is actually covered in directions and mapping and stars. Also, with your detect magic, yes, very much, that big giant stone, the chair, the wood the stone is on, all that shit's magic.
Am I getting anything from these crystals over here on the table?
No, those are not magic.
Okay. Well, I'm going to keep studying it. While everybody's doing their thing. But I'm also going to say out loud, anybody who's good with maps might want to come take a look at this.
I shout for Ravy. Ravy.
What?
Maps. Maps and
star charts. Ooh, wow. maps. Can't wait to read a map.
Still reading. I'm gonna take some of those gems.
Oh shit!
Why don't you roll a knowledge arcana? See if you can read the map.
I did actually, and I did quite well.
That's really
thank you very much.
It's too bad my character from the other campaign isn't here.
Yeah,
he's really into star charts.
Yeah, I was gonna say this would work really well for the other party, the Crown of Queens party. This
would just cool. Got us.
That's funny. But
these gems look valuable.
The gems on the table, I mean, they look like your run-of-the-mill gems. They don't look worthless, but they're definitely not, like, precious. You know, these are just... This is the kind of gems that you would put in to supplement. You know, it's carnival glass kind of stuff.
If anything, we can throw it in the end of his face. So I'll take some.
You're looking around. We'll jump back outside. What are you guys doing out there?
There's been something I've been trying to do. Anybody hungry? Wanting to try something out. Would y'all like to have a feast, my heroes? Because I'm a little worried about walking into the city further. Completely unprepared.
You need to cast Hero's Feast?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Just up a gug.
Yeah.
I cooked a gug.
A week old gug.
So you can conjure. Yeah, definitely. It's okay. Got the table and chairs and everything, right?
Yes.
So she conjured. She speaks some words of magic, does some concentration. And,
it looks exactly like that table that we found inside the temple.
Nice. So that just conjures up outside.
right here in the middle of the walkway.
That'll work.
Oh, yeah, I'll walk out. How inconspicuous.
So I need to roll 1d8. I think that's 9 total temporary hit points.
Okay.
And morale, too.
Yep.
Oh.
That's good gug.
That's some delicious gug.
What's a morale? Morale boost. Or bonus.
Morale bonus. Morale?
It works in the same way as, like, inspire, courage, or when, like, a bard is working up the party. It helps with saving throws and stuff based on certain fear effects.
Okay.
It's stuff I have to keep track of.
All right.
I've made a note of it.
And +4 against poisons and fear for 12 hours.
12 whole hours.
Plus one nice. Attack.
Nice.
So while
I don't know if it's the gug or if it's full traces influence, but I'm feeling pretty great.
Does make you feel better. And while you're doing your conjuring and cooking, Ogun, what are you up to?
I'm sitting down to chow down, dude.
Right on. Logoth joins as well. Ravy, what are you up to?
I am going to take a little walk.
Okay.
To Sesame Street. Cross over here. Is this door open?
It is open. Would you like me to reveal what's in there?
Vanna, show us what we have.
You know all the right things to say to me. I wish I had a sparkly dress. I'd look dope. So, inside, cursory glance, this is a cylinder that stands about 3 foot high. It's made of iron. There is a, on top of it, there's about a 10-foot circle that sits a pile of slowly smoldering coals. There's back here, there's a bunch of chunks of metal that look like they're stacked, not precariously, very carefully, actually. There's a rack over here. There's a large anvil over here.
What?
And there's a forge anvil over here.
I'm going to push Ravy out of the way.
Hey,
you're sitting down to eat. She hadn't said anything yet.
Hey, Ogun. I found a forge room. Wink.
What?
What is this?
Starts shoving food in his mouth.
Ravy moves out of the way of the door for the barreling man.
Yeah, the freight train just goes through the door.
Is that going to ruin my effects from the feast and stuff?
No, you're good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to check this out.
Okay. Yeah, it's a fully appointed forge.
Climb be praised.
Yeah, man. And I'll let you inspect it and give you all the deets here in a second.
Okay.
I'm going to jump back to Allegan. So I'm going to say that you've gone through a couple of rounds.
Mm-hmm.
So look at the map. Scroll out so you can see the full map.
Whee!
Cool.
Okay.
All right. So look where the pings are going to show up.
Oh, boy.
There's magic here.
Okay.
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 Magic.
Okay.
Magic.
All right.
Magic.
Now it just sounds like you're joking.
I'm not. No, not at all.
Old MacDonald has
this is where ping, ping, ping. He can see magic within 60 feet, right? So 5,
yeah.
10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60. This is the range of his magic seeing. So everything that he could see magic-wise was there.
A bunch of magic in the next building.
That last ping was just to show you the distance. There isn't anything
else. Okay.
Because that's as far as you can see.
Right.
This is the strongest point of magic.
Right.
Okay. There's magic...
Oh, let me scroll back out.
There's magic here. Okay.
Hold on. I think I scrolled out too far. All right. I didn't see your ping.
The spear that's in the gug.
Oh.
Yeah. The table that she conjured is magic.
Right.
This is magic.
Okay.
This is magic.
Okay.
That's all the magic you see.
Alright.
And this is the dominating force of magic that you see right now.
The chair.
Yeah. That's dominating magic.
Okay.
So that would be... So that's your we're going to say you're on your fourth round. Because a round is 6 seconds. Well, no. It takes a minute. So you would be Fiora's Feast cast. Yeah, so you're within your fourth, fifth, seventh. You're in your seventh minute block. So you're good. The... Sitting in the chair is what activates it.
Okay.
There aren't semantic components. It's tactile. Or there aren't verbal components. It's semantic. It's tactile. That's what activates it. Everything else is not technically in your line of sight because you're in a building, so the abilities to activate what they do, the general sense of their aura, you can just sense that they're there within a 60-foot sphere.
Okay.
But the chair, you have to sit on it to activate it. And it is all magic. The wood, the chair, the cushion, the gym, all of it. Magic.
Did I get any schools out of it?
All schools.
All schools. Okay. Yeah.
It's magic. Magic. It's not. It's chocolate, right? There's a lot of different types of chocolate.
Right.
This would just be described as chocolate. Right? So it's not like people. There's a bunch of different types of people. This is just, this is people. There's some magic. There's a lot of different types of magic. This is just
people of magic.
This is just magic. This is magic. The chair, magic.
All right.
Yeah. Nidius made a feast. Matthias, what are you doing, man?
Chowing down.
Okay. Ravy, are you going in? Are you following him in?
No, I am not. I'm actually going to head over to another room.
Cool.
I'm gonna see if this door's open.
Alright. That door is locked.
I wanna see her going.
Yeah. That door is locked, by the way.
Okay, so this door is locked, and I take it this door is locked.
Yes, ma'am.
Alright.
I'm gonna jump to Ogun and his wonderland. So, Ogun, what you see, The building is stone. You know, it's made of these dawnstone bricks. It's kind of squat. It's very simple. It's blocky. It has a thick dawnstone bricks on the outside that kind of make up the walls. Inside, it smells like dust and charcoal. There's the it smells wonderful to you. There's this forge. You notice it's a forge. It's not going out. It seems to be magically heated. It seems to be like an internal flame of sorts. That keeps the forge stoked at the proper smelting temperature. There's stacks of iron and copper and tin that are in bars over here. You can see that there's a rack that sits against the back wall. On the rack are a lot of forged weapons, but none of them seem to be of any good quality. I mean, they're forged. You know, they're the type of weapons you would pick up at a Weapons R Us, a Wargit, if you will. Nothing bad, but nothing spectacular.
Right.
There's an anvil, and then there's a forge here and here. Throw me a perception check and a crafting check if you have it for blacksmithing and stuff. There's a lot of rust on some of these bars, which seems weird.
That couldn't mean rust monsters. Bane of my existence.
I'm gonna all blacksmiths are paranoid of rust monsters.
We hate rust monsters. They're the worst. I'm going to stand in front of this big circular forge here that you said is still hot and this is going out. I'm going to pray and commune with my God and praise him, thank him for, you know, the almighty forge and stuff like that. And just kind of, you know, soak it in so I feel more, you know, feel more at ease and at home. I mean, we've been traveling for a long time. It's, you know.
It feels good to be back at a forge. And this is very much a forge. It's been not used in a while, but it's definitely, when it was being used, it was kept well. And there's definitely some age on everything that's in here. But the thing that you find most noticeable is, like, as you're sitting here and you're communing, you become keenly aware that micrometer by micrometer, the bars of tin and copper and steel that are over here are slowly regenerating.
You mean they're regenerating from rust?
Yes.
Oh. Are they contained in something, or they're just stacked openly?
They're just stacked openly.
Wow. That's pretty neat.
It seems different. Definitely not something you're used to.
No. Definitely not.
So, Nydia? Go ahead, Jim. Wow. Yeah.
I was just going to say, I'll come back out and ask if anyone needs anything sharpened or honed. So I'm dying to try it out, you know.
So he's offering to sharpen everybody's weapons.
Would it do anything to my glaives?
I mean, he's a blacksmith. I think he probably believes everything needs to be sharpened and polished. It's made of metal. He wants to work on it.
He's like, look at this elbow armor. Now it's sharp elbow armor.
I'll hand over my glaives.
Likes on everything.
Your new name is Shredder.
Tattles!
Oh my gosh, when I was a teenager, that actually was my nickname.
Oh, that's
really?
Yeah. Wow.
You're not really a shredder to me. Like, just I've met you in person. So.
Yeah. I don't know why that was chosen, except I liked Ninja Turtles at the time, so...
No. Oh, well, hey, maybe they were just trying to have a nice way of not calling you April O'Neil.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah. No, I was definitely not an April. Although I did have the yellow jumpsuit for a short time.
I was going to say, who wears the yellow jumpsuit other than Joel Hodgson?
I was just going to say, I was always Donatello, end of story.
I had four red-eared sliders about this big, and they were all named after the turtles.
I was a Raphael for a very short period of time, but for the most part, I've always sided with Donnie. And Maddie has always been a Michelangelo guy.
So Nighty is thinking about turtles while she's sitting at the table waiting for everybody to eat after giving Ogun her glaive and is sitting there like, now what do I do?
Tevis is eating. Nighty is hanging out. Ravy, those two doors are locked.
But if you tell me, I would gladly help. Nope, nothing. Sitting at the table.
Allegan.
So having inspected the chair, I'm going to come out here and join the feast.
Okay.
But I'm going to start talking to you about this big, comfy, magic-looking chair that I kind of want to sit in. I don't know what it does.
Then talk.
What? Well, that was my lead in. There's a big, comfy magic chair. And I want to sit in it.
If you want to sit in it, if you've got some rope, we'll tie it around your waist, and if it looks like bad things are happening, we'll yank you out of it. But that's your call, man.
I'll start looking around. Where's Ravy?
Shit.
Ollie, oxen free. No,
I'll jump up and run down the street. From the
I mean, if she's not here to stop me,
I can make all sorts of bad decisions.
When Ravy's away, then no more play.
So I follow Ogun's example and start wolfing down magically enchanted food. And nice. Then I'm going to go back to the chair.
I'll find Ravy and tell her, Allegan's about to sit in a magical chair. Could be interesting to see him blow up, but we're going to pull him out if he looks bad. Want to come watch?
Are you asking me if I want to come watch? Watch what?
What happens with this magical chair?
Magical chair where?
In the room before... In the room you thought nothing of interest was in.
There was a magical chair in there?
Yeah.
Did you sit in it?
Not yet, we're about to.
Tell Logoth to sit in it.
I think Allegan's really got his heart set on sitting in it.
Alright, well, rape on him. His funeral.
Okay.
Go check on him. Don't let him sit in the chair. Sarcasm.
Little Mom Batavius is like, Mom, Alligator wants to sit in the chair.
It is not the first time I've been tattled on.
Well, I like how Nydia made dinner and everybody wandered off. That was really
We're amazing. All like running back to shove food in our mouths so we can go play.
Yeah.
Hey, Logoth, you getting... Logoth, you gonna eat my effing food?
Oh no, he's really into it. He's
oh, he is.
Food. Yeah, he's really.
He's not all. No, it's a F food.
No, he's been in a mirror for friggin' forever, so he takes any chance he can to eat a meal that's an actual meal. Like, he would actually be really down for it.
All right, I know that Mativus came to yell at me, but do I get to move now?
Yeah, do what you need to do. I'm sorry. I didn't know if you. Ah, okay, cool. That door is opened.
Yay!
Yeah, the door is open.
I thought it was locked.
Mm-mm. She went to a different door.
Oh.
Inside, you see six large tables. Three of them, at first glance, are covered in thick piles of powdered rust. The other three are covered in large piles of gemstone. Piles of ruby, sapphire, and emerald sit on these tables, easily worth millions in the right market.
Boring.
Ah!
Just kidding.
No, that by all means, be you.
Anyway, what are the dimensions of a gelatinous cube again?
Whatever they need to be.
All right, so I found another boring room. Gotcha.
So what you want to do?
Walk across the street, look inside and see if this door's open.
That one is, it's not open, but it's, I mean, it doesn't appear to be locked.
That's not safe. I'm done.
Okay. Tevis is eating. Logoth's eating. Ogun is probably...
I gave an idea back her glaives. There you go. Nice and sharp.
Finished up.
Did it change the properties at all?
It wouldn't have. They're sharper.
Excellent.
Good upkeep. Good weapon upkeep.
I trim some of my chin hairs off.
Alligan, what are you doing?
I'm just going back to the magic chair.
Okay.
And if Mativus is not going to follow with the rope?
No, I'm coming. I can tie rope around your waist. Okay. Yeah, the gravy seems cool with it. She also seems right. I'm there for you, buddy.
I'm gonna let Matt, I want you to make a roll a d20.
Okie dokie.
Just roll a d20. Nah, I don't think you're... Nah, that's cool. Okay.
Okie dokie.
So Mativus ties a rope around your waist, and you go and do what?
Before I climb in, I say, okay, if I freeze up but I don't look like I'm in pain, don't pull me off. But if I do look like I'm in pain, I guess get me out of there.
If you're not moving, I'll give you 10 seconds, and then I'll pull you off, just in case it's done something weird to you. Unless you say you're cool.
All right. And I climb into the chair.
Okay. I sit down in the chair. You feel for a second. Your hands are kind of tracing the lines, the star charts, kind of getting settled into the wood. All of a sudden, your brain starts to feel warm. Your vision kind of crosses from being a normal vision that you see, like, as far as what's in the room. You see almost a transparent projection of another space in front of you. You're looking at this... river of fire. To your left, there's a large encampment of stone and iron. It bears these large tartan symbols, this very inner worked knots. There are two beer steins with a heavy cudgel between them. In Helic, you can see there's the kind of a brewing company sort of logo. Do you speak Dwarven? Do you have Dwarven?
I don't believe I do. Let me double check real quick. I do not.
Okay. There's a name in Dwarven underneath it, but you can't make out what that name is. To your right, you can see mountains and volcanoes. The sky seems to be made of fire. Way, way in the distance, you can see this massive city. Looks like it's constructed of brass. And there are these dwarves, and they are heavily inebriated, and they are standing in the middle of a field, and they all seem to be making motions that look both like a drunken lean and delicate choreography. And they seem to be going through these motions. There's this large dwarf with a silver beard, and he seems to be sitting, and he's like, "Aye, keep up the good work." And you know, he takes a hit off of a large flask and is sitting there. To his left walks this strange-looking being, kind of trollish, kind of not. He's got two golden horns that jut up from his forehead. He's probably 8 feet tall, very kind of thin. He's got a beard. His skin is kind of a coppery red gold color. He's wearing a large purple coat. He's wearing very well-tailored purple suit. His hands are in the pockets of his coat. He has no shoes on. He walks over and he stands next to the dwarf and he says, "Do you think they're ready?" And the dwarf goes, "Oh, they're gonna ready as they're gonna be. It's coming, whether we want it to come or not." The trollish looking creature stops for a second and seems to look around, then he looks at you. And you feel like he can see you.
Hello.
He waves.
I'm also kind of narrating to Mativus, just letting him know, if I can, that I am cognizant and seeing things. Can I make an educated guess as to where I was?
Does Allegan have any planar knowledge?
Oh yeah, he does.
Oh, roll planar knowledge. You're on the elemental plane of fire.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm guessing this is some sort of communication device with the plane of fire?
The trollish guy is pointing at his ear. "Can you hear me? I can't hear you," is what he says.
I nod my head.
"Where are you?"
"Create small objects, but they look crude and artificial."
You smart bastard.
"I'm going to create a chalkboard."
Oh! Bravo, son! Okay, let's see how this plays. Yeah, well, good. Good call, kiddo. Good call. I'm proud of you. Okay, how are you going to do it?
You can't write Dwarven though, can you?
I can't, but I can hear what this troll is saying. So he just asked where I am.
Yeah, where are you?
Material plane.
You're on the prime then.
I give him the thumbs up.
Who are you talking to? Dermot, hold on. Just calm down.
And I kind of motion around me like, what is all this?
You're on the prime. You're on the prime? This is the elemental plane of fire. Fire, brass city. Who are you? Give me your true name.
I write down Allegan.
Allegan the what? No surname, just Allegan?
And I'll write down from Vandril.
Good to know. I'll be seeing.
Can I see the chalkboard?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, pull him off.
Okay. Where the fuck did he? Right as it's going, "Angus! What the hell?" And it pulls out.
Oh, dude. Ow. Did you just... I couldn't see what was going on, but I'm guessing you just told some kind of entity your name. I don't know that much about magic stuff, but pretty sure that's a bad idea, man. What did you see?
It was the elemental plane of fire. There were some dwarves doing a drunken dance and a very fashionable troll who seemed to be pretty chummy with them.
The most fashionable being you've ever seen in your life.
Well, I can tell you from personal experience, fire is not fun.
Well, it's a very myopic view of things, but...
Did you just drop myopic? What the
I did.
All right.
I point to the singes on my tail from Ravy's previous encounters.
Well, okay. It's a very small view of what the elemental plane of fire is compared with all the planes interacting with each other.
Because Allegan's got some serious planar knowledge, right?
I don't know about serious, but he has studied the planes, okay. being that what he is and where he is from.
Right. But you did tell him where, and you did tell him your name. So something somewhere knows your name. An entity who you never got its name.
I didn't, because I was very rudely interrupted. But...
Hey, man.
Well, but it knows who you are now.
I'm sure he could find me using those two pieces of information, but I did leave out the... I left out the... How do I phrase this? The term in between of day os of, you know, that little factoid.
Oh, I'm sure he can find you.
I'm sure.
I'm 100% certain he can find you.
I suggest you don't sit back in that chair, because you've probably... got someone coming our way now, man.
you are out of spells, by the way.
I am?
For the day.
All right.
Yep. You are spell lost for the day. You feel like as you disconnect from the chair, the pure nature of magic that it would take to run that device has, not in a painful way, just it's the nature of the device, has taken your ability to cast.
Wonder if you have some more food from the table.
Well, I have already eaten.
He still wouldn't be able to get it back. It's a 24-hour period. It's the nature of the device.
I figured that was one of two things when I sat down.
It is the thing you probably thought it was.
Yeah.
But that's what that thing does. That's the nature of that thing.
Yeah.
But Allegan doesn't know what it is.
Nope.
Doesn't know what it is.
Nope.
So that's what it is. So back to the party.